This is a voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Mission, bringing you another message by the late pastor. The message you will hear today is, My Beloved. Oh, what a tender message. You stay tuned and I'll give you the mailing address at the close of the service.
In the language of the psalmist, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Although I do not have the gift of the tongues of angels, neither can I speak with eloquence. But I want to bring you a message, my friends, on this subject, my beloved, my experience of redeeming love, and speak of the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that all of His loveliness might expressed for those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could tell you what my beloved means to me, as He's been revealed to my own heart. Grace has been poured forth from His lips into my lips, and His light shines into my mind and heart. Therefore, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Beloved is one of the many tender and expressive titles of our blessed Lord. I believe it is the most gracious word that speaks of our Lord out of over 200 titles found in God's Word describing the Lord Jesus. Oh, that I could make known what the Lord Jesus is to those who love Him. Yes, He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valleys. He's the bright and morning star. He's the true vine and the sweet apple tree. He is the good shepherd that layeth down His life for the sheep. But all these titles, which are divinely given to the Savior, do not picture Him as the words, My Beloved. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, said, To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He did not say accepted in Christ, but accepted in the Beloved. What a gracious word. What a title of our precious Lord. Just to think that I was accepted in my Beloved. Which means that God bestows all of His love upon me that He bestows upon my beloved. Don't you like to revel in that term, my beloved? We have one of the sweetest pictures given in God's Word of our beloved in the Song of Solomon, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. And if you have your Bible, turn quickly to Song of Solomon 5:10. We see here the bride's longing for the bridegroom. She is asking, Where may I find Him, my beloved? O daughters of Jerusalem, where shall I find Him? Then the daughters of Jerusalem are asking her, What is thy beloved? More than another beloved. And this is her answer. I want you to listen to it. You won't find in God's Word a greater description of our blessed Lord than you'll find right here in Song of Solomon, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Let's read it, will you? She said, My beloved is white and ruddy. The chief is among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters. Washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as the bed of spices, as sweet flowers, His lips, like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as the gold ring set with beryl. His belly, or his heart, is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as the pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine silk gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, listen, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Can you say that about your beloved? I can. That voice is the tender chords in my own heart about my beloved, my lover. What a description of the very person of the Lord Jesus as our beloved. The word beloved belongs peculiarly to love's own language and comes from the heart. And it's a word used only when individuals have joined their hearts and hope and hands, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So it speaks of love, compassion, affection. It speaks of heart being bound together. My beloved. Let's notice that little personal pronoun, my. Is it ever so blessed with such meaning when a poor old sinner saved by the grace of God, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, can look up into his face with tears streaming down his cheeks and say, my beloved. And then hear the Savior say, I'm thine, and all that I have is thine. In the covenant of grace, Christ gave himself to the sinner. Not only gave himself for the sinner, but gave himself to the sinner. What a blessed relationship. Then, my friend, as he is Lord of all things are mine. And all that belongs to him, my beloved, belongs to me. As Paul said, the world and life and death and things present and things to come are all mine, because Jesus is mine. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? My Lord is my best beloved, a bottle of myrrh, a cluster of campfire, mountains of spices, is my beloved unto me. My friend, he is my most costly jewel, my choicest treasure, my most beautiful ornament, my pearl of great price. You see, I'm putting that in the personal pronoun. I'm telling you what my Lord means to me. May he mean that to you. I know he does. If you're saved, I'm voicing just what's in your heart. He is worth more to me than all the world. He is worth more to me than all the world to come. What's heaven? What would heaven be without Christ? My Lord and my God. As the poet said, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. When you weigh in the balances everything in the world and out of the world with my blessed Lord, my beloved is worth more. There is nothing to be compared with my beloved. That's right. I know I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose the latches of my Savior's shoes. I know that. I know I'm not worthy even to kiss the ground on which he walks. But I do believe with all my heart that I am worth more to him than all the world. If not, why did he pay such a price for me? The Bible says the Lord's portion is his people. They are his delight. They are his workmanship. They are dear to him because they are purchased with his own blood. They are the desire of his heart, the apple of his eye. They are engraven on the palm of his hand. And my soul is his most holy dwelling place. My soul is the very heaven of heavens to him. My soul is where he lives and reigns with the scepter of his gracious love. You know, when he gave himself to me, he kept back nothing. He gave his crown, his throne, his scepter, his body, his soul, and his spirit. They are all my present, personal possessions. Yes, the Lord Jesus is mine. He is all mine. He is mine with all of his gifts, with all of his graces, with all of his attributes and perfections. His head is mine to rule over me and to keep me in subjection to himself. His heart is mine to love me and to cherish me. His eyes are mine to watch over me in all my ways, both day and night. His feet are mine to run after me when I go astray, or to keep me from going astray. His hands are mine to place me on his shoulder and to bring me home to his fold rejoicing. His mercy is mine to pardon all my sins. His goodness is mine to provide all my needs. His righteousness is mine to clothe all my nakedness and to present me clean and perfect before his Father. His grace is mine to sustain me through all my earthly journey, and his glory is mine to reward me forevermore. My friend, this is just a little about my beloved. Is he yours? Do you know him? Are you voicing in your heart saying, Pastor, he's mine? You're just telling me what he is to me. Am I? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Then, if he is my beloved, I am his beloved. Because of his great love for me, he came down from heaven and took me by the hand and asked me one day to be his and betrothed me to himself. Now, my friend, there's got to be two sides of love. If he's my beloved, then I'm his beloved. There can't be just one-sided. No, it can't. Yes, I was betrothed unto my beloved in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in tenderness. And he was betrothed to me in righteousness and judgment and in loving kindness and tender mercies. It was grace upon grace when I responded unto him saying, yes, yes, my Lord, I am and will be thine forever. Then our engagement was consummated and the bond of our union was sealed, and is most precious and is forever and eternally binding upon each other. Can never be broken. It pleased him to love me and to betroth me unto himself. How blessed, how good, how strong is that union. And I want to tell you, my friend, there is not power enough in earth or in hell to put us asunder. No, there isn't. My beloved and I are one in heart. I am my beloved, and he is mine. Then won't it be grace upon grace when the marriage day dawns? And I come with all other saints to the marriage supper, leaning upon his arm to ever be with him as the bride is with the bridegroom. Where there will be fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. My friend, you can have everything the world offers. Go on and take it. It'll all pass away. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. May the Holy Spirit take that truth and drive it home to your heart. My friend, there was a time when I could not call him my beloved, and I did not care to call him mine. To my natural heart, I saw no attraction in him. I saw no beauty that I should desire him. His beauty of holiness, or the beauty of his loving kindness, I cared not for. There was no longing in my heart after him. I was spiritually dead and had no spiritual discernment. The old natural heart hated him, did not love him, did not want him to master my life. The old natural heart shunned him, did not care for him. The old natural heart ran from him and did not desire his companionship. I saw no form nor comeliness in him, but he rather appeared like a root out of a dry ground. But one day, when by his grace my blinded eyes were opened, and I saw him as my Lord and my Savior, when he was revealed in my heart, yes, when he was born again in my heart and mine, and I saw how beautiful and lovely and friendly he was, since then, I've always wondered how I was so blind, why I could not see any beauty in him. To know him, my friend, is to love him. I'm talking about Christ, my beloved. Do you know him? But the wonder of wonders is that my beloved, so lovely, should love anyone like me. I was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. I was an enemy to the covenant of his promises. I was an outcast, yes, a contemptible outcast, visible, blind, and naked. And then for him to love me so dearly and so deeply as he does is still a wonder. But the wonder of wonders is that he loved me at all. I sit and marvel at his great love wherewith he loved me. Why did he elect me? Why did he call me? Why did he justify me? Why did the Father accept me in the Beloved? Why does he pour out his grace upon me day by day? Why is he so kind and tender and full of mercies? Why does his goodness follow me all the days of my life? Search the world over. Find all the love it contains. And there's no love like the love of the Lord Jesus. His love stands alone. There is none to compare with it. Do you know what I'm talking about, my friend? Are you sitting there before your radio saying in your heart, Pastor, you are telling me how my Lord loves me, and how I love him, and how I love him because he first loved me. Pick up your history, and you'll find story after story how the king or the crown prince seeks for a wife, and how they're guided by every consideration of the state in selecting a wife. The lot falls upon some foreign princes or somewhat of a political party that the nation may be helped. Once in a great while you'll find the story how the king, because of his kindness, disregards all the laws and customs of his kingdom and chooses a bride somewhat unknown from a country village. But when he chooses this one, he does so probably because of her beauty. But when the King of Kings selected me, he was influenced by no such motives. I was far from being beautiful. There was no charm or character about me. Our house had rendered no service to his government. Therefore, he didn't choose me to reward me or anyone for anything that we'd done. There was no comeliness of beauty about me. My character was as black as sin could make it. I lived in rebellion against his rightful authority and had trampled underfoot the blood of his covenant. Yet, my friend, he loved me when I deserved only his wrath and his curse. Do you know, saint, that he loves us more than he loves angels? For he did not take on himself the nature of angels. You say, how strange. Yes, the depth of such love we cannot fathom, a love that passeth knowledge. No wonder Adoniram Judson cried out in his dying moments, "Oh, the love of God, which passeth knowledge." Yes, a love that passeth knowledge, wherewith he loved us. This is our Redeemer's love. Paul was made to say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We love him because he first loved us. Do you know, my friend, what such a love leads the Savior to do? It led him to give all that he had with himself, that he might redeem us and bring unto himself a peculiar people washed from their sins in his own blood. Do you know also, now you get this, if we love the Lord Jesus as he deserves to be loved, our hearts will constrain the hand to give all that we possess. You know, to say that we love the Lord Jesus, then to keep back part of the price of our possessions, like Ananias and Sapphira did, is a most dreadful thing. You know, when I look at the scanty offerings that are laid at His feet by His professing people, I can hardly restrain myself from saying, as the Apostle Peter did to Ananias and Sapphira, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. My love for my blessed Lord constrains me to lay everything on the altar and to withhold nothing from Him. He is worthy of all my praise, and unto Him I give all that I am and have and hope to be. You know, just as all that Jesus has belongs to us, so all that we have belongs to Him. We are not our own. We belong to Christ, first because He created us, and second because we have been redeemed by His blood, bought by Him. He is our dear kinsman redeemer and purchased us. And when He purchased us, all that we have went with the purchase. So Christ claims all our possessions. And if we love Him as He loves us and gave Himself for us, His claims over us would never be disputed. All our possessions would be laid as a freewill offering on His altar. Our money, our life, our all, that He might send forth the gospel unto others. It is one of the greatest joys of my heart in life to lay on the altar at His feet everything He's placed in my hands as a freewill of offering, that He may give wings to the message of redemption, to be carried to the sons of men, to the four corners of the globe. One of the saddest disappointments of my life is to meet many of you who have said, Brother Shelton, you know God saved me under your preaching, and then to see you continue to hold on to your worldly possessions when men are dying without the gospel. I've often thought, if only those who have written me and said God has saved them, or have been awakened under your ministry to the fact I'm a lost sinner, would send even God's tithe, we'd carry the message around the world to every creature in such a short time. Let me call your attention to this great fact. If we withhold our money from Him, they may themselves take wings and fly away as an eagle toward heaven. In Proverbs 11:24, we find these words. You get it. There is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Then I cry unto my soul, come, come, O my soul, let me consecrate myself anew to my beloved Lord Jesus. Here at thy feet, dear Lord, I fall. Accept the freewill offering. Accept the whole burnt offering. Accept the living sacrifice, for I am thine. And all that I have is thine, and thou art mine. I am thine, because thou art mine. I have chosen thee, because thou hast chosen me. As 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Then all my members are thine, my head to think for thee, my hands to work for thee, my feet to run after thee, my heart to love thee supremely. Lord, I would be thine only, thine entirely, and thine forever. Oh, let's throw away everything let's throw everything that we are and have or ever hope to be in the lap of our beloved Lord and cry, my Lord, my beloved, and my God. My friend, is that your prayer? That's mine. I wish I had 10,000 lives to give it. I wish my tears were as the waters of the ocean, that I could weep them out at the feet of my blessed Lord. I know there are times of doubt and darkness and despondency when my love for my beloved is cold and my faith is small and my hope is dimmed. But I will not despair, because I know I'm His. There may be times when I'd speak softly and say that my beloved is mine, but I can always say, I know I'm His. I may not always have the faith, the full assurance, but I do know that I have the faith of fast adherence. I'm His. Even though I'm driven from one horn of the altar, I lay hold of the other. This reminds me of a story. Let me tell it to you. It is said that in the days of ancient Rome, there was a little nation with a small army. The proud and powerful Grecians coveted this little nation and came to make war against them, to annex them to their country. In their great distress, they sent messengers to the Roman Senate asking for aid, but the request was refused each time. And finally, at last, seeing their destruction was inevitable, they resolved to give themselves and their country to the Roman Senate. Then just as soon as their small nation was annexed to the Roman Empire, that small nation nestled under the arm and the protecting wings of the great empire. As neighbors, the Romans would not go to their relief, but as fellow citizens, they could not refuse to come and help them. So one day, I was awakened to the fact I was perishing, and I was unable in my own strength, in my own resources, to withstand the terrible onslaught of Satan. So I gave myself to one who was mighty to save, the Lord Jesus, my beloved. And He came and took me and made me all His own. I'm His. And I said to Him, if I cannot be thy happy spouse, I'll be thy happy slave. My cry today is, Lord, I'd rather be thy bond slave and just to know thee, just to know thee. And then I have at my resource all the resources of heaven. I can nestle under His arm, under His outspread wings, and find my resting place there. And as my beloved, He comes to my rescue in every instance. He's mine. Is He yours?
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and we hope that you were able to hear. Let us know if you're having trouble at your radio station or all of those things we'd like to hear. But the message you heard was My Beloved by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. And also, I forgot to mention, today is our Fall Fellowship Day. We always have fellowship days twice a year, April and October. So we hope you were able to be here. But I also would like to hear from you. If you weren't able to, let me hear from you. But remember, all of these messages are on CDs and in booklet form. We send them to you in a booklet form, free and postpaid. Remember, the Old Trailblazer, Pastor Pendarvis, like to hear from you. Help us with the broadcast just a little if you can. And then pray for us. Pray for our folks. We have many folks on the sick bed. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.